on.
Live from Los Angeles.
It's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
We're my man.
Chris Booker.
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
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 The Perez Hilton.
Y'all ready?
It's the PHP.
Why, hello, everybody. Welcome to the PHP. I'm Booker. He is Perez. How are you?
I think I had a weekend that was maybe similar to a lot of people. Like, it was a pretty shitty weekend.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening in our country right now that I wouldn't say is anything new. It's hard for me. Maybe it's easier for other people to unplug, but I know when everything was going down, especially on Saturday, I was even in the frickin' beach. I was feeling so shitty. I was like, I need to go to the beach. I need to be in nature. I need to be by the water, the ocean that's calming. And even at the beach, I was feeling a little bit better, but I still was also just glued to my phone, seeing what was happening in the developments by the minute, and also just obsessing about that and obsessing about like this shitty, awful thing that happened to me personally. The short version of it is somebody told me, flat out, explicitly said, I had a gig. This was 3 weeks ago. For the last 3 weeks in my mind, I've had this job. I've been preparing for this job. And then on Friday, I got a call saying, it's not happening. And I can't really tell you why. So then my mind started racing and all of these emotions and awful things. And I made a whole video about it. I don't need to like rehash it. It was a big opportunity that, and I was already preparing for it and imagining myself and how my life would change as a result of this and how it would be good for my family and whatever. I don't need to, what else do you want me to say? Do you want me to say anything else? Am I missing any important things?
Unless you're going to really tell people what it is, there's really no point.
Yeah, because I am a professional and I don't want to say what it was because.
There's ways of telling the story without even possibly including anybody in what it's about.
What am I missing?
The we aspect of it.
Well, I don't think we should say that. People will deduce. People will figure it out.
No one's going to deduce anything.
There aren't that many things where both of us. Well, I guess maybe.
Perez,
all right.
There are 7 trillion things
right,
that
okay,
this could
all
be.
Right, okay, fine. All right. All right. I'm just paranoid because I am a professional.
We're not throwing anything under the bus. Okay. They made a decision and they changed their minds. That's essentially what happened.
And Booker was a part of it. And I was so excited for both of us.
Yes.
And both of us devoted a lot of our time already to this.
A lot.
We were not paid for.
No.
And what are your thoughts? And how are you feeling?
I'm fine. I think I've got the knack of letting things go. I've just found the positive in all of this. It was a bummer for the first day, but I just kind of let it go.
Well, I've straight up actually been depressed.
I know you have. I've watched you go through I don't care, to rage, to sadness. Like, you kind of went through all the emotions of almost even a breakup. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I watched
like
you
that,
go through
it felt
them.
Like a death. And the reason I got so...
It wasn't that big of a deal.
I took it so hard because I've been in this industry now for 14 years. And thankfully, I've never had an experience like this before.
Yeah.
You know, I am a professional. This year, I've talked about it on the podcast. I'm taking freaking acting classes. I've been going to a ton of auditions. If I don't get a job, okay, whatever. I auditioned. I might have gotten my hopes up, but I didn't get the job. I don't linger on it. I don't obsess over it. I don't let it get me down. It wasn't meant to be. But this one was an opportunity where you and I got the gig. They said it was happening.
Yeah. If we went into all of the bells and whistles and hoops and things that we jumped through together, I think a lot of people would understand why we're kind of being so tight-lipped on what it is. But we put a lot of time. And I'm not just talking like thought time.
No,
actual
no.
Time. Preparing. Preparation.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of time. Whatever.
A lot.
So I just want to thank people because that made me feel, it made me feel better. And it also made me feel worse at the same time because I was reading their comments and they were so heartfelt and sweet and sincere. And it made me feel so much better that I started crying again because it touched me so much that these people who really don't know me, but I feel like they could see the real me and they could see how this really truly was affecting me. And they truly were sending these positive vibes to me. It made me feel so emotional. I don't know. Anyway,
let's start this dumb show.
It was a weekend of lows and it was also a weekend of highs. There were some fun moments. I got to see Ed Sheeran perform on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And I got to say hi to him, and he actually made so much time for me. Like, it was really nice. He was just chatting with me alone and with my friend that I was with for 15 minutes before his concert started. That was really kind of him, and he was amazing. I've seen him perform so many times. Like, I'm one of his earliest champions and cheerleaders in America, and I think he's so immensely talented, and it's makes me so happy to see that so many other people agree with me too.
I went Friday.
Did you like the show?
I did like the show, yeah, of course.
Yeah. The only thing I think I would have liked more was it didn't even bother me that he didn't have a band, which he hasn't done for, he's never performed with a band. I maybe would have just liked like a B stage. It was all on a main stage. I would have just liked like a different moment to connect with the audience, like maybe like a small stage that like that was in the round that rotated in the back of the arena or something.
Right. To get a different angle and to get some movement.
Yeah.
Just, I get that. I would go with that.
Yeah. Sure. But otherwise, I thought he was amazing. I thought the production was awesome. Like this huge, cool set and amazing videos and lights. And I was so into it. And also, I loved that James Blunt was the opening act. And he was great. I love James Blunt. I love this new album of James. Did you catch James Blunt?
I did not.
You missed him. Oh, he was so good.
Well, I was on the air. I mean, I literally got there 2 seconds before Ed went on. So
you were on the air?
I'm on the air till 7 o'clock. I went Friday night. So I had to go home, get my girlfriend and take Friday traffic to Staples Center. Oh. He went on at 8:30. I literally got there at 8:30.
Oh, I didn't miss a second
of his show, but yeah, I was on the air. I couldn't see.
Yeah, he was on at 8:30 sharp.
Sharp, yeah. I think he needs a band. It's not that I don't think he needs a band. I just think that as a fan, I'm ready to see what he can do with the band behind him, because that show with him and just that repeater pedal that he's using, I'm never going to say it's not impressive, because it is one of the most impressive things you'll ever see live, is watching Ed build a song from nothing with a pedal and using loops and then performing on top of the loops that he's created. I mean, it's really mind-blowing to watch, but I've seen it. He did it on the last tour. Give us something a little more than you did last time.
It was still an amazing show, and I have nothing but good things to say about him. And actually, so here's some good scoop. I ran into Ed last night, Sunday night, at the most insane, wild, over-the-top birthday party.
Really?
That I went to in Malibu. My dear friend, Diana Jenkins, happy birthday, Diana, was celebrating her birthday, and holy guacamole, it was filled with so many celebrities. And I haven't mentioned it at all on any of my social media platforms or on my website or anywhere. Because first, when you got there, they were checking all cell phones. And they have this new technology now that they use at some film premieres where it's like this pouch and you put the phone in the pouch and then they give you the pouch, but you can't open it and you can't get your phone out. Eventually, as the night wore on, actually not even that long, like an hour later, she changed her mind and let people have their phones. And some people were taking photos at the party, but because when I got there, that was the initial desire that she had, and because she had discouraged it, I opted not to take any photos,
even though
I really wanted to, because
I know you did.
Holy moly. Not only was Ed Sheeran there, but Katy Perry was there as well.
Wow.
I got to say hi to her and Ed. And Katy Perry was there with Orlando Bloom.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, there's some scoop.
Yeah. Well, they were actually also both at the Ed Sheeran concert on Saturday night.
How about that?
So the two of them are definitely back together. I can say that 100%. And even better scoop, oh my God, it gets better. Katy Perry was there with Orlando Bloom and also with Orlando Bloom's ex-wife, Miranda Kerr. They all rolled up together.
That totally means they're together.
They got there, Katy, Orlando, Miranda, and they were there with his son, with Miranda Kerr.
Yeah, there you go.
They took the
son. Katy's about to become a mommy.
I'm sure she would love that.
Stepmommy.
Also, Cindy Crawford was there. Courtney Cox was there. Jimmy Iovine was there. Mark Burnett was there. I mean, like, I was like, in disbelief. I'm like, I can't believe I'm at this party. It's insane.
Benny, you're an A-list heavy party.
I know. Benny Blanco was there, like A-list producer. Gabe Saporta, who used to be in Cobra Starship, was there. The head of the Kabbalah Center was there. Michael Berg. I'm trying to think who else was there. Oh, Neil Patrick Harris was there.
Wow.
J-Lo was not there, but J-Lo's musical director was there. And I was like, we need to talk. I just hope J-Lo knows I love her, because I do. It still bothers me still so much that people in her camp were upset that I was honest about her show. And he's like, yeah, you know, other people had that thought as well. Like, I wasn't alone in actually expressing the opinion that I expressed about her Vegas show. So whatever. Also there was Kim Kardashian.
Oh my.
And she came up to me.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh, why couldn't have I went to this party with you?
She came up to me. And I got to say, she was super.
I would have taken notes.
She was super classy and lovely. And we didn't talk about me not being on the Kardashian train. But you know what? If we would have, I would have totally been frank with her. And I would have explained why.
Right.
And I said this before, it's all Kylie Jenner. Kylie Jenner just gave me a bad taste in my mouth for all things Kardashian. And it started 2 years ago with her 18th birthday. And it started 2 years ago when I was following her on Snapchat. And then I stopped following her on Snapchat. Like, just everything about her just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Well,
for
that's
all
her little
of,
sister. So for I mean, all you of gotta, them. You got to be, it's probably better that you didn't bring it up.
But I would have. I'm like, you know.
I know you would have, but it's better that you didn't.
Instead, honestly, for like 20 minutes, it was me, her, and Robin Anton. And then, oh, her security guard was there. There were all these like really famous people at the party. She was the only one that had a security guard. And that's fine. She suffered legitimate trauma in Paris. It's totally cool that she, you know, because this party already had security. It had a guest list. There was actually a freaking, it was so A-list. They hired Malibu PD to stand outside the party. Whatever. It was me, Kim, and then Robin Anton, who was her plus one, were chatting. And our conversation for like 20 minutes was just about like being healthy and fitness and food and like loose skin, and me talking about having loose skin and her talking about having loose skin and being healthier and what we're eating and getting laser to remove less, like literally like, and it was just, you know what, like, I think I've said this before, like, even though I'm not on the Kardashian train, like, I've never really said anything negative about her as a person.
No, I feel that you've always said that she's
is a nice person.
Almost harmless.
Yeah, no.
She's I've always pretty
said,
harmless.
Yeah, no, not even, yeah. Not, I've always said she's a nice person. She's a nice girl. So she lived up to that last night, and it was genuinely nice to see her. And also, you know who was there? Oh my God. I kind of don't want to do any socializing of any aspect of this party, because it'll be interesting to see if word gets out to certain people. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if word will get back to Kim Kardashian. And also if word will get out to this next person that I also saw there that could have also been awkward. I saw one of the girls from Fifth Harmony at the party.
Oh, God, I wish I was with you. I would have been hiding in the corner for that one.
Allie from Fifth Harmony was there. I'm the most honest mofo there is. And she's like, I can't wait for you. She can't, like, it kind of really made me feel better after the shitty weekend. It's always nice when people come up to me instead of me going up to people.
Right.
So, like, I had seen her out of the corner of my eye and just didn't say anything. And then,
did you not have a plus one? Was it just for you?
No, I did have a plus one.
Oh, did you brought somebody? You brought your friend?
Yeah, I brought a friend. I didn't know you were in. I thought you were still in Vegas. Whatever.
No, I got back yesterday morning. I totally would have went to that. Oh, I didn't do anything last night. God, I would have loved to have seen this shit show.
That was a hella short Vegas trip. So I saw Allie from Fifth Harmony out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, I'm just not gonna say anything to her or whatever. Even though I love Fifth Harmony, I am just honest. Like, I love Madonna. I can be critical of Madonna. Just because I love her doesn't mean I can't call it as I see it.
Right.
So Allie comes to me. And she's like, oh, I can't wait for you to hear the new album. And I say, I hope there are some pop songs on there, because I love my pop Fifth Harmony. And she's like, you won't be disappointed. I'm like, great, fabulous. And then her friend, and then she started talking to my plus one, and I started talking to her friend from back home in Texas. And her friend was like, I read your review of their latest single, Angel, which we talked about. Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think we did, no.
Well, I don't like the song at all. I liked Down. Down I liked. Down, I just thought
we thought it was okay.
No,
we
didn't, I liked
let's
it.
Let's not get carried away. We didn't like
no,
it.
No, I liked it. You know, I liked it. I just thought it sounded too much like Work From Home.
Work From Home. Yeah, it was like a part two, a rehash.
Yeah, retry. That was my only critique. I'm like, it feels a lot like Work From Home, but I liked it. It's not like right. I disliked it.
Yeah, and look, it was a stiff. It's not like you said a great record was crappy and they proved you wrong. I mean, it didn't perform.
Well, this new single, Angel, that one I dislike. And her friend was like, I read what you said about the single. I was like, yeah, I call it like I see it. I just didn't like it. but she was lovely as well, Allie from Fifth Harmony. And like, I am a harmonizer. Like, it's so funny. Like, my friend had no idea who she was. And I'm like, girl, this is Allie from Fifth Harmony. Hello. So it was nice for me to say that all in front of her, because even though I have been critical, I still like them. I'm still rooting for them.
No. I think everyone would get that. I mean, you've just called it as you've seen it. And here's the thing, you haven't been wrong. There's nothing you've been wrong about in your critiques of Fifth Harmony. We've just said how they were going to perform, and that's pretty much how they performed.
Anyways, you haven't missed much with the new single, although it was surprising to me because it was produced by Skrillex, and it sounds nothing like Skrillex. It's very, it to me, and listen, it's just my opinion, it's very influenced by Rihanna's last album, Anti. So, but it sounds like a B-side, and it's very urban sounding. I mean, I like urban when it's done really well, but I wouldn't say it's like my favorite genre. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm much more a pop guy. So when Taylor Swift went country to pop, I was totally all about it. If Taylor Swift went country to urban, I'm like, I don't know. But then again, like, I do love urban when it's done well. Like, Pour It Up is one of my favorite Rihanna songs. Pour it up. This time it all out, like, strip clubs and dollar bills. I love it. I live for it. Like, but it has to be done really well. If it's just like okay urban, it's like, whatever. If it's great, like A+ urban, then like, let's take me to the strip club. Like, let me booty pop. I'm all into it. But this Angel song is not that. Anyways, there was more new music that came out. This new Pink song. Have you heard that one? What About Us?
No.
What?
No. Mm-mm. Oh, no, I take that back. I did. I heard it on the radio in Vegas on the way to Britney. It was on the radio. I did hear it.
And
I thought it was okay.
Well, I really liked it. My only critique, because that's what I do. This is the podcast that you share your opinions on. My only critique is kind of like with the Ed Sheeran show. It felt like Pink. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it didn't feel, I would say it's not like cutting edge. And I wouldn't say necessarily it's exciting, but it's a really good song. And I'm not disappointed by it either. Do I wish it was more exciting or edgy? Sure. Do I think it's a good song? Or I wouldn't even say it's a great song, but it feels very much like more of the same. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'd rather more of the same and it be good than something new and totally shitty. Mm-hmm. Also, some really exciting news for Kesha. Oh God, let me see if I can find the exact numbers, because I like to be exact. Coming. Here we go. This is so fascinating. So Kesha's, not fascinating, like exciting and inspiring. Kesha's last album came out 5 years ago. She is going to be doing something that almost nobody does. In 2017, she is selling more albums in pure sales today than she did 5 years ago.
You know, if you think of the music, though, it does make sense.
The music is so much better, yeah.
Well, yeah, she did this, but they were great songs. I mean, let's not take anything away from TikTok and those songs. They were great disposable pop songs, though. It's
totally
not like something you would want to buy the album. She's making music now, and music, it's not disposable. These songs should be around for some time, you know? She made a good album.
Yeah, so the last album sold about 75,000 copies its first week. This one is projected to sell between 80 to 90,000.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
In
that
pure
really
sales. Anything more than what you sold 5 years ago is impressive. And when you factor in streaming and everything, the total should be between 95 to 115,000. So congratulations to her. Well deserved. I love the album. I downloaded it and I'm streaming it on Apple Music and it's awesome. Also over the weekend were the Teen Choice Awards. If you care about that, I've got all the performances and the fashion and everything on PerezHilton.com. I don't quite know how, I mean, maybe I just know because nobody gives a shit, but Rita Ora opened the show. And I don't
You know, my girlfriend likes her new song a lot.
Really?
She loves that song. Yeah, and that's what I said too. I was like, really? She's like, I love that song. That's her jam right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's her jam. She loves it.
I don't hate it. It just, like, to me, it's an Ed Sheeran B-side.
I'll tell you what, I do like it more than the first time I heard it, because the first time I heard it, I went, wow, this song is just super generic. And I'm starting to get it now, but I don't get why she loves it so much. But she does. She loves that song.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if you want to watch her performance of that song on the Teen Choice Awards, I've got that for you guys up on PerezHilton.com. And I don't think a lot of people cared, though. Like, I didn't even care. I was like, I'm going to that party instead. I'm not fucking live tweeting the Teen Choice Awards. Screw.
She was here tweeting it all last night. I mean,
was she?
Yeah, I guess Miley Cyrus ditched. She didn't feel like going.
So many people sent in video acceptance speeches instead of showing up. It was like, lame.
That's so lame.
Man.
So lame.
All right, tell me about your weekend and everything you did in Vegas.
Okay, well, let's start before Vegas. I went to Lady Gaga.
Was that Thursday?
I don't know. Wednesday, Thursday, whenever that was. Phenomenal show. Next level phenomenal.
Well, I got to say, like, reading the set list, this tour versus the last tour, like the set list for the last tour sucked. This set list was way better. So just by pure construction of the show, like I didn't go see it, but I felt like it was going to be a better show.
It was. It was hits. She perfectly blended in like the new album. And it's funny hearing like Ayo, like I kind of missed that song, even though it wasn't a big hit. And even the songs that we thought were like a little bit too over the top. The one, the first release that Mark Ronson did, what's that song?
Perfect Illusion.
Yeah, even that live was good. It's a perfect illusion. Like it worked in a big arena. You know what I mean? Where the screechiness of the single was kind of a little bit too much in your face. So I don't know, all the new stuff and all of the old stuff played together nice. She had these cool, these like pods in the ceiling that lowered down and turned into bridges so she could walk from one side of the arena to the other above everyone and perform on. The sound was great. She's just great. I mean, she just knows what she's doing. It was an emotional show. She was talking about, it was her dad's birthday and her whole family was there actually. And she was talking about the loss of one of her friends. And it was just a really good, solid, that woman just knows what she's doing show. So I really enjoyed that. Then you mentioned Ed Sheeran, which I, you know, we went into, I thought was a great show. And then I went to Vegas to see Britney. That was Saturday night. It was pretty much what I expected it to be. I know you're laughing already, but
because you laughed. You laughed when you said
that. I'm laughing because
I went to Vegas to see Britney. Like there was like a laugh there.
There's a little pause of a laugh. It was exactly what I thought it
Which
would be.
Which was?
A very good lip-synced performance.
Very good.
For what it was. I knew what it was going in. Listen, if I went in and expected Britney Spears to sing, then I probably would have been a little upset. But I knew that she didn't. Now, I thought her dancing was great.
You did.
She was doing it, man. I mean, that's an hour and a half show. She was moving, dancing. It wasn't the arm dancing that I'm used to seeing. She was really going for it. She was all over the stage. There is still something about Britney, though. I will say, listen, there could have been 32 people on that stage. You're just looking at her. There's something still fascinating about her. She's just a star. I couldn't take my eyes off her. She's in incredible shape. She's has a weird disconnect with people. And maybe I think that's fascinating. But all in all, it was all hits. It was like listening to your favorite Britney songs with a pretty cool stage show behind it. So it was pretty much what I expected it to be. They didn't do any close-ups on her face, though. That was something. Why duh? I figured they would.
Because she's lip-syncing.
And there's not a person in that arena that didn't know she was lip-syncing. It's funny, like the microphone went on twice. And it's like, you know what I mean? The breathing and the whole thing. It's like, okay, we get it. You just turned the microphone on for her to talk. And when she talks, it's very robotic and not quite connected. It's almost like her performer voice or something. I don't know. But I still found her fascinating and beautiful to look at. I think she's sexier now than she was coming up. Even when she was coming up and like I interviewed her on MTV, she must have been, we'd have to do the math, but I was probably 28. I don't know what I would have been. That would have made her
18, 19.
Okay, how old was she when Oops, I Did It Again came out?
She might have been 16.
No. It's the album where she was
The second album. She might have been 18.
Yeah, okay. So she was probably 18. And to me, she just still seemed like a little girl. I got it. Like, she was pretty and everything, but I wasn't like sexually attracted to her as, you know, as a woman. I was like, oh, cute girl, even back then. But now she's a woman and she just, you know, she's so pretty and just so, you know, has it. So now I'm kind of like thinking she's sexier than she's ever been. So whatever. There's my two cents on that show.
In other news, prompted by Britney, like there was this video of this guy jumping on stage at her concert in Vegas. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. And I was like thinking, oh, great, they're going to cancel the show right before I'm going to. Because that happened like last week, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Friday night? Or I don't know when it
no,
was.
No, it was before yours. I think it might have been Tuesday night. And she looked genuinely scared. It was scary for her. And that was difficult to watch because, you know, maybe other people could handle something like that better or differently, but she was like a deer in headlights. I think she even, it was reported that people in the audience, I couldn't hear it that well, but people there heard her say, is that a gun? Like she thought he had a gun. So she was like super spooked. And then I saw a video of something also like that happening to Lana Del Rey at one of her shows. Like,
yeah,
I get it. People are probably... I don't get it though. I don't get it.
I do get it.
No, I mean, I don't get it because I was going to say, I get it. People are probably drunk and that makes them think differently. But then why it almost immediately changed my mind. I'm like, even when if I'm fucking drunk, I know better than to jump on stage. Hello.
I thought you were saying you didn't get the reaction of somebody being so scared.
Oh, no. I totally get that. I don't get
why someone would do that. Yeah. People do it at baseball games all of the time too. Guys, stay off of the field. Stay off of the stage. I don't care how drunk you are. Who dares you to do what? And if that happens, they should put people in jail, like mandatory, like a week. Like, sorry, you're going to jail for a week.
Exactly.
It's scary.
It's scary and it ruins the fun for everybody too.
For everybody. You ruined the show for everyone.
Well, more music related news. It's not even done yet. Part of it is done. This Taylor Swift case in Denver has been ongoing, but it's been awesome to see people's response to it and to her. Like Taylor Swift is such a bizarre phenomenon to me because she's so successful and so loved. I love her so much, but so many people really strongly dislike her. And I don't quite get it. Somebody like Beyonce or Adele, like they're almost universally loved and adored, and Taylor Swift isn't. And I'm not quite sure why. Like, do you have a reasoning?
We've talked about this before.
We have?
I think there's just, yeah, we've definitely talked about this.
About
there's
that?
There's an air to Taylor Swift of insincerity.
Really?
Yes. And a lot of people smell it. They don't believe that she's as sincere as she may be. I don't know the girl. I'm telling you what it is.
Insincere in what sense?
That she's not all nicey nice as she comes off. That she's not this, oh, shucks, down home.
Why are you being so cynical? Like, why?
Why are they?
I don't know why.
Like I said, I've never met her. I literally have no opinion. I kind of base my judgments upon my own interactions. I could kind of sniff somebody out when I'm around them. I've never been around her, so I don't know. But I think it's things like the whole Kardashian thing. The Kardashians won that one. Taylor tried to get into the mud with them and failed miserably because that's not where Taylor Swift should ever be living.
Well, I don't think she wanted to either. She got dragged down.
Well, she involved herself in it and Taylor lied. Bottom line is Taylor lied.
I don't think she ever lied.
Well, she said that she never told Kanye.
Well, he never told her the bitch part or whatever.
There was the audio of her saying that she did tell Kanye. So she lied. She lied to everybody. And that's why she went away for so long.
It's semantics.
Why are you taking up for her? How is it semantics? Well, I have no dog in this. But as someone that just saw the facts presented, put in front of me, she said, I never told Kanye that he could do that. We never had a conversation about it. Kim Kardashian whips out her phone and says, right here's the conversation that they had about it. That says to me that Taylor Swift lied about something. And it rings in sincere. That's one of the things, one of the reasons that people say, well, Taylor Swift comes off as insincere, and they could point to that example.
Well, people were not paying close attention.
I think she does so many great things that it's silly to bag on Taylor Swift. But look, you've bagged on her too for not participating in the election.
Oh, yeah.
I disagreed with you about it. I don't think that she had to. But, you know, it's things like that that bothered some people. Didn't bother me, bothered you. So, I mean, there's another example. You can nitpick people to death. At the end of the day, I think she's pretty awesome. I don't even know her, and I think she's pretty awesome.
It was awesome for me to see, you know, people respecting her.
There's really no play in this one. There's only one way to see this.
No, that's not true. There are some people who might think she's making it up or she's
doing
it.
Come on. Come on. This girl's done hundreds of thousands of meet and greets in her life, and what? She just all of a sudden, out of the thin blue air, just decided, oh, I'm going to take this guy's career.
I'm not saying that she made it up.
It's absolutely. Of course you're not saying it. I'm saying I don't believe that anyone even believes that she was making it up, because it's so ridiculous. The idea that she would sit there and say, yeah, that person touched me, when they didn't. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Even the person that dislikes Taylor Swift the most, whoever that person may be, there's no way they could see it any differently. I don't think. If you look at the picture alone, the look on her eyes where his hand is, he's going up her skirt. I mean, there's no other way to see it. I'm happy that the court of public opinion went with the obvious, but I don't think they had any other way to go. I mean, the proof's right there.
It's such a mess. And apparently this morning when they were having their, closing remarks, she broke down crying.
I don't think Taylor Swift ever wanted to sue a DJ.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm sure this is very traumatic.
He sued her first.
Yeah, I think this has been very traumatic for her. And I'm sure just being touched and groped that way was very shocking for someone that gives so much of her life, especially to radio and to a DJ, and even to be able to go to a meet and greet and meet someone of her caliber. God, show some respect, dickface. And, you know, he didn't. I'm glad that this turned out in her favor.
Yeah.
And I think most people are.
In more legal related news, Wiz Khalifa's mother is suing his baby mama, Amber Rose, for defamation. And here's what's crazy. I mean, it's such a
who would care?
Baseless.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's baseless.
A baseless lawsuit, because Amber Rose, even if she was talking smack, she did it privately, not publicly. Mm-hmm. So I would think that a judge would throw this case out.
A competent judge is just going to throw it out.
Yeah. Because you can't impugn on somebody's reputation unless you're doing it publicly.
Right.
Nobody's going to give a shit if you're talking shit about somebody to your friend or to an acquaintance. Like, but the bigger thing to me is that this grandmother sued the mom of her grandchild. Even if Amber Rose was talking shit privately, not publicly, why do you have to go public with it and file a lawsuit? Like, so ridiculous.
It's called new money. When you give people new money, sometimes they don't know what to do with it. They think they've got some sort of power. Like, I'm going to go to the courts now and do this thing that people do with money. How about save your money? Okay, don't waste it on stupid things like this. Now you got to go buy a lawyer. For what? Because your grandmother reputation's on the line? Are the ladies on the block all talking about it or something? Calm down.
It's just sometimes I don't get people.
Watch the news. You know what I mean? People are nuts. They're just wacky.
In more wacky news, did you read that story of the former Trump staffers and their extramarital affair?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The former communications director for Donald Trump had an affair with this woman who also worked for the Trump campaign, and they ended up having a baby together.
A love child.
He's still married to his wife And he released a statement saying that he and his wife are happy for the addition to their family. And then the woman...
I'm sure she's just so happy.
Well, it's crazy that she stayed with him. And the woman that had the baby basically said, oh, this guy is full of shit. And he's given me no money whatsoever for this baby or has not helped in any way whatsoever. But that just got me thinking, like, the bigger question was, well... It might be hard for you, but it's easy for me. Imagine you're a woman. If you're a woman, or it can work both ways too. Like if you're a guy, if you're any person of any gender, would you have a relationship with somebody that's still married, even if they told you they were separated, which that woman alleges? She claims the guy said that he was separated from his wife. Would you have a relationship with somebody you claim is separated from their husband or wife, but
sure,
you would?
Sure. Divorce sometimes takes up to a couple of years, especially if kids are involved. It's not like you snap your fingers and you're divorced. So, I mean, a lot of people move on with their lives. That's why they, you know, celebrity couples all over the time. Anna Faris, Chris Pratt, they're, you know, could they be out there dating? Yeah, because they made the announcement like, look, we're separating and, you know, we're moving on with our lives. So I think that's totally normal.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. I mean, I would hook up with somebody who's tells me they're separated.
But what's the difference? You mean you wouldn't have a relationship with
probably
somebody that
not.
Says no?
Just because, like, A, they're still married, and B, like, I wouldn't want to be a rebound. I would view it more from that way. You just got out of marriage. Like,
right. You don't want to be the first one.
Yeah.
Especially if you really like somebody, you don't want to be the first one on deck with someone that just got out of a marriage. It's almost, you got to tell them, like, look, let's meet up in a year.
Yeah, you're not ready.
We could date casually, but you need to go out and date other people and, you know, get over this other person first.
No, I wouldn't even
get a lot of emotion.
I wouldn't even want to date casually because they're not going to be ready for another serious relationship, possibly marriage again, if they're still even married.
Friendly dating, like maybe just some sex.
Well, that's what I said. No, I'm fine with that. That I'm fine with, but.
Yeah, no strings. That's all. Just no strings relationship.
Yeah. That was a wild story. Also, speaking of Trump land or those people, Bill O'Reilly is coming
Americans.
Back to television with an internet show.
All right.
That nobody will care about.
No.
It's so bizarre. Like, you can fall so quickly. You can be on top one moment and then not. But at least he's got a ton of money saved. Like, he's got... Yeah. Tens of millions of dollars in the bank. So
he'll be fine.
Speaking of tens of millions of dollars in the bank, billionaire Elon Musk and his girlfriend Amber Heard broke up. And oh my God, these people think really highly of themselves. Like, they think that we cared so much about their relationship. Like, they released multiple statements about their split. Yes.
Come on. Really?
Seriously. Like, first they each talked about it independently, and then they released a joint statement after that because they had, you know, read false reports or whatever. I'm like,
how long did they date? A year?
Not less, like months. 5 months, 6 months.
Wow.
People just didn't care. Like, oh, who cares?
It barely makes this show.
Yeah.
We're in the ninth hour of this show.
Exactly.
It's barely making it.
I just found it funny to me that they thought that
it's funny.
Highly
that's, of
by the
way, that's the only reason it made the show, because it's funny.
Yeah. In more couples news, I really hope this is true. According to reports, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have put the ice on their divorce.
Really?
That's not to say they're back together right now, but I'm hoping that's a possibility and that happens. However, the divorce is not happening for now.
Yeah, I have a feeling, and I don't want to, you know, pour ice on your hot story here, but I have a feeling it's because of all the money that's involved in the properties in different countries and all the taxes. And there's just so many things for those two to separate the business of Brad and Angelina that they probably had to pump the brakes on some things while they sorted some other things out. There could be investments involved. It's a lot of money that I'm sure it's going to take a lot of time to sort through. That's probably what it is, but you know, hey, man, look, let's hope for them. I like to see them. They got 100 kids. It'd be cool if they stayed together.
In more couples news, this surprised me. Maybe she's exaggerating. I'm not sure. But Kristen Bell gave this interview where she was talking about her marriage to Dax Shepard. And she said the following, quote, "I do disagree with him on 90% of the issues on the planet, but we have really wonderful, intense, valued conversations about things, and I always see his point, even if I disagree." That seems exhausting to me.
I take it differently. Listen, when you're in a long-term relationship, and I am the king of long-term relationships, you know, to have disagreements are good because you don't want to agree about everything, because it only takes about a year, year and a half of dating someone before you've told them every story and you know every single thing about them that's ever happened in their entire life. It's good to have those conversations where you can disagree about things because it does make things spicy. So I think the number 90%, I think that's probably a little inflated. And she said that for just to be entertaining. But I don't necessarily disagree with her. You don't want to be in total agreement about everything. The big things you want to be in agreement about.
90%.
I know, but I think they're just exaggerating. You know, you're taking that a little too little, which you often do.
Well,
that's your thing.
Well, yeah. People should be careful with their words.
They don't need to be careful when they're giving an interview and they're trying to be funny.
Well, I wouldn't put a number on it. I would say
we disagree
but a lot.
That's you. You always start saying, well, I wouldn't. Well, she did. Who gives a shit what you would do? She did because she was trying to be funny.
She was trying to be funny? She could have been serious.
I don't. I'm presenting the possibility that there's humor involved with what she said. Since she's giving an interview and she's not on the psychiatrist's couch, she's talking to someone in the media. So she's trying to be interesting. She's trying to be funny. That's all. I think you're reading way too much into it. And by the way, I saw Chips on the Plane. I really liked that movie. I thought I was going to hate it, but I loved it.
No. Good to know.
You'll hate it, but I loved it.
Well, speaking of media interviews and media, this really surprised me. Lauren Conrad from The Hills back in the day. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
She had a baby recently, and she was on the cover of People magazine, and it ended up being the worst selling issue of People magazine in the history of the magazine. I view her kind of like Jessica Simpson. Like, you know, they're not on TV anymore, and we're not talking about them that often, but they're still likable or liked.
Well, you know what it is? It's just because their demographic is so, hers is so thin. Like, if you're a girl you could just kind of put a calculator to it. If you're a girl that is probably, you know, let's say 28 to 32, the time that she was on TV, you've got 4 years of girl. You know what I mean? Where you put a star like Angelina Jolie, you have decades of girl. So her audience is so niche. It's so of a certain time and that time only. My mom wouldn't know who she was. You couldn't put her on a magazine. My mom would just think it was a model. She doesn't have a long runway of fame. She just has a little one tight genre. So that doesn't shock me.
This probably won't shock you either. Just like Kylie Jenner and her flop show on E, Scott Disick. My God, we talked about Kim Kardashian earlier on the podcast. I was going to say, we haven't even talked about them all podcast long, but we did talk about Kim earlier. Scott Disick did a pilot for E!, this like house flipping show, because that's what he wants to be doing next in reality TV, a house flipping show, which actually, in theory, on paper, it's not a bad idea because all those types of shows are really popular right now.
Well, it's not, because what does he know about construction? That's what you learn about watching house flipping shows. You learn how they flip them, how they do the construction. What does he know about
it? I don't know.
He's never swung a hammer in his life.
While E! Filmed a pilot and has decided not to pick it up to series because apparently it was boring as fuck.
Yeah.
On to some film-related news. Just sending some positive vibes to Tom Cruise. He injured himself while filming a stunt for Mission Impossible 6. It was kind of scary. Like, he was doing this stunt where he was jumping off a building from one building to another. And even though he was attached to a harness, he like missed his landing mark and ended up like banging into the side of a roof of the building and ouch. And then he stood up and collapsed. It was like, oh, it was traumatic. Wow. Also today, this was a breaking news thing. A stunt woman died on the set of Deadpool 2. So,
oh no, really?
Yeah, really sad.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. sending positive vibes to all her family. And finally, wrapping things up today before we get to some calls. This, I don't quite get this. It's kind of a head scratcher for me. Vin Diesel announced, did you hear about this?
No.
Vin Diesel announced that he's going to be starring in a Fast and Furious live arena tour.
I can't even imagine what that is.
So basically, you know, it's like I talked about it on the podcast, I took my son to see Marvel Universe Live.
So it's like a monster truck show.
No, they come up with a story. No? There's a story. It's like a concert, but not a concert. It's like a musical almost, but not a musical. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how they do that with Fast and Furious and cars and a
They're
stage.
Going to be doing stunts on stage, on a, not a stage, in an arena. Like, so what they'll do is the entire arena floor will be just for the cars and everybody will just be sitting around watching the show. But I don't get it because he's so rich. He's got a lot of, like, he doesn't.
Yeah, like, why do
Why
that?
Is he doing it? Yeah. If anything, it's like a bad look, I think.
Weird.
That's that. Let's take some calls.
Hi, Perez. Hi, Booker. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and of you both, but it's not a question, more of a comment. My name is Carol, by the way. I am so tired of Booker just sucking ass to all of the people you mentioned. Justin Bieber worked hard. Yeah, sure. He learned an instrument. But what else did he do? Just go around throwing toilet paper at people's houses. Like, he didn't really work hard. He's not a hard worker. You know, the guy who lays cement on the road is a hard worker. They're privileged little children. Him, Selena, all of them, they have not worked a day in their life apart from waking up, going to do an interview or not. At this point, who's heard of Selena Gomez in the past couple months with this new album? Or whatever she's releasing. No one's seen her apart from going around, you know, with The Weeknd up and down the block. So I'm so tired of you just always kissing ass, Booker. You turn into Howard. Like, I know you have to work outside of this podcast in the real world with these celebrities. But for once, like, just kind of give your real opinion. I love Perez. Sometimes you're too real, Perez. But there has to be a middle ground. I'm sorry, but the Justin Bieber working hard comment, just, I have to call in. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
I've been practicing. Are you ready, Perez?
Oh, you've been practicing.
I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Miss, I completely disagree with everything that you said, but I really appreciate you listening.
Aww.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. I love that. That's wonderful.
Good, right?
Yes.
Did it feel sincere?
Yeah. You weren't?
No, completely sincere. Would you like to comment on any of that?
I think what she was trying to say was that a lot, or maybe even most, normal people have to work a whole lot harder than Justin Bieber.
Well, they're not normal people. That's my point.
Hi, Perez. Hi, Booker. My name is Gretchen. I just listened to the podcast where you talked about how Kendall Jenner possibly did not tip at a restaurant. And I 100% agree with Booker that the restaurant should have never posted her bill. I work at a restaurant and literally our motto is the guest of the customer is always right. My question is how do you feel about celebrities not tipping? I feel like I've always heard that celebrities usually don't tip or they don't tip 20%. And I just wanted to get your opinion. Thanks. Bye.
I mean, I would like to think celebrities tip more than 20%. I mean, if you got baller money, you should tip like a baller.
The celebrities that I've known, from the A-list to the D-list, I've seen them be more than generous.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, when someone would open the door for Ben, he'd give him a $100 bill.
What?
Yeah. I used to see him do it all of the time.
Wow.
I mean, the people that I've been around are pretty generous. I actually do know one A-lister that was a little cheap.
Who?
And he was an A-lister at the time, but I can't say it. I'll tell you off the show. He was kind of cheap. But mostly the celebrities that I've been around or hung with or been in that kind of celebrity adjacent circle, I find them to be more than generous. That's just my experience.
I usually tip 21% because I'm OCD like that. That way I can say I tipped more than 20%, but I'm not like crazy more because I'm also the cheapest person I know.
Right. Okay.
Hi, Perez. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm calling from San Diego, California. My question is about the Taylor Swift trial. I've been following it really closely. I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan. And I watched your Facebook Live about how the media and a lot of people aren't talking about it, aren't covering it, and you suspect it's probably because she's a white, blonde, rich woman, which I totally agree with, which is really, really sad. But what my question is where are all of her celebrity peers at? You know, if the media doesn't want to cover it as much, fine. I don't feel like there's a lot, like, booming about it at all, but where are all of her peers? Why aren't they tweeting? Do you think, like, where's Selena Gomez? Where's Kesha? Where are the people that she's been there for so many times before? I'm wondering, has she asked people, her peers, not to talk about it, to tweet about it? Because it's literally no one. I'm not seeing anyone. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
I didn't quite say that when I made my Facebook Live video. I've been very well aware of all the media covering it. It's been getting a lot of coverage, actually.
I feel like I've seen it on every news channel and every person that reports on Hollywood. I feel that they've covered it. So
yeah.
I don't get that statement.
And I also don't necessarily agree with the Friends one either. I've actually seen a ton of celebrities voicing their opinion on this, like Kesha tweeted about it today, so maybe she's just not fully caught up. But Kesha has tweeted about it. Shonda Rhimes, Lena Dunham, and more and more and more, like a very long list of celebrities standing up for and in solidarity with Taylor Swift. I've seen it.
Hello, Perez. Hello, Booker.
I'm kidding, guys. I'm actually, I wanted to say hello. I'm Kristen. I'm from the Philippines. I love, love, love your podcast. I listen to it all the time. When I'm getting ready, I try to make it last for how many days? So anyway, so my question is, what do you guys think of the Anna Faris and what's her name? Chris Pratt's breakup? I'm just so sad. I thought they were going to last forever. So yeah, I hope this gets featured, and hope you guys have a great day. We love you here in the Philippines, and my friends and I love your podcast. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We talked about that last podcast, and actually my theory was pretty accurate, and then other people started reporting on it after I talked about it.
It is true, because my girlfriend did not, you know, she works for Extra, and she didn't know of his, much like me. I mean, it's kind of cool you have me on the show to be the real kind of normal person sometimes, because I had no idea either, but it was fun watching that catch traction this past week after the show was released, because I really do think you were the impetus for that. I think a lot of people were like, really? I didn't know he was so God Squad, because I know my girlfriend, who works on an entertainment show, had no idea. So, yeah.
Does your girlfriend really think listen to the podcast?
No.
Oh. Why does she not listen to our podcast?
Do you think someone could put up with another hour of me in a day? No, thank you. Sometimes she'll catch me listening to, you know, what I've edited, but that's about it. I don't think she...
rude.
Rude.
My sister,
you're rude, lady.
My sister listens.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Barbie.
Yeah, my mom doesn't, but she wouldn't even know how to. So it's not like I hold it against her. Let's wrap it up. Let me just quickly mention some new Billboard people, because I want to talk to you for a minute after we wrap up. Big thank you for going to PerezBillboard.com. Still trying to make the Billboard happen. It will happen. To Karen Liao. Thank you, Karen Liao. Thank you, Jessica Hernandez Nunez.
Hernandez.
Thank you, Jessica Hernandez Nunez. Love you. Thank you, Aubrey Railsback. Thank you. Thank you, Janine Hunter Duggar. She gave $50. Amazing. Wow. Thank you, Janine Hunter Duggar. Thank you, Jenna Schofield. Thank you, Edgar Martinez. We are going to go with Booker's Billboard idea. He said that. Thank you, Retta Wallace. Okay. And that's that. Thank you guys for listening. Call us. What's the number? 800-721-1185.
Follow us too. I'm at Chris Booker on Twitter, Chris Booker on Instagram, The Perez Hilton everywhere. We'll talk to you next week. See you guys.